Frederick Flushington belonged to a small college, and in doing so conferred upon it one of the few distinctions it could boast, namely, that of possessing the very bashfulest man in the whole university. But his college did not treat him with any excess of adulation on that account, probably from a prudent fear of rubbing the bloom off his modesty; they allowed him to blush unseen, which was the condition in which he preferred to blush. He felt himself oppressed by a paucity of ideas and a difficulty in knowing which way to look in the presence of his fellow men, which made him never so happy as when he had fastened his outer door and secured himself from all possibility of intrusion, though it was almost an unnecessary precaution, for nobody ever thought of coming to see Flushington. In appearance he was a man of middle height, with a long scraggy neck and a large head, which gave him the air of being much shorter than he really was. He had little weak eyes, a nose and mouth of no particular shape, and very smooth hair of no definite colour. He had a timid, deprecating air, which seemed due to the consciousness that he was an uninteresting anomaly, and he certainly was as impervious to the ordinary influence of his surroundings as any undergraduate well could be. He lived a colourless, aimless life in his little rooms under the roof, reading every morning from 9 till 2 with a superstitiously mechanical regularity, though very often his books completely failed to convey any ideas whatever to his brain, which was not a particularly powerful organ. If the afternoon was fine, he generally sought out his one friend, who was a few degrees less shy than himself, and they took a monosyllabic walk together, or if it was wet, he read the papers at the Union, and in the evening, after hall, he studied general literature, a graceful term for novels, or laboriously spelt out a sonata upon his piano, a habit which did not increase his popularity. Fortunately for Flushington, he had no gyp, or his life might have been made a positive burden to him, and with his bedmaker he was rather a favourite as a gentleman who gave no trouble, meaning that, when he observed his sherry unaccountably sinking, like the water in a lock when the sluices are up, Flushington was too delicate to refer to the phenomenon.